Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh, it always makes me feel good when I hear my friend Dave. Good afternoon to you, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world, whenever you're listening to the show. It's going to be one of those shows, honestly. I know that I'm excited about it because of the content of music, but also because of our guest coming up in a couple of hours, Vic Frierson. There is a lot that I could say about this 6'8" gentle giant, but I'm going to let him do a lot of the talking about his background, where he has been, where he is going. Really interesting where he's been, and I was surprised a couple of weeks ago to hear him because I actually haven't heard him for a while, and I think he'll be in a frame of mind where he will explain all. Very intriguing stuff. Music, let me tell you something, confession. I have not heard all of two songs that I'm going to play for you today because I'm so excited about including them. They are brand new, so you'll be learning as I do, as we go. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. That's what we are, that's what we do. And we're going to start off, as we usually do, with a classic from 1958. The gentleman's name, a drummer, is Cozy Cole. This is Topsy, Part 1 and Part 2.
Topsy, Part 1.
Thank you.
If you don't smile when you hear Al Jarreau, something's really wrong. Here we are. We're doing the show on March the 1st. We are really glad that February is gone. By the way, it was a bleak month. Let's look forward to March and all that it has to promise. Al Jarreau is turning 72 on March the 12th. That's reason enough to make you smile. Morning from 1983 and his CD, Jarreau. Couple of things you might not know about Al Jarreau, and there's a lot to say, that's for sure. A master's degree in vocational rehab. Yes, indeed. And then in the 60s, he was doing his thing as a rehab counselor, and he was moonlighting with George Duke in the various clubs in the California, Northern California area. And, matter of fact, one of his biggest hits was Moonlighting from the TV show, remember? From the early 80s with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis. Woo, back in that day. Here's something else, and I just really found this out. I think this is so cool. The author Carmen Rubin, in 2009, wrote a book called Ashti Meets Birdman Al, based on the works of Al Jarreau. And Al and Carmen frequently team up and go across wherever to speak about literacy and the importance of education for children. I think that is so cool. Love you, Al Jarreau. Always did, always will. One of my best photos ever is from Berks last year. Al Jarreau, George Duke, and I'm in the middle. I like that kind of sandwich. Oh, bless his heart. Terry Lynn Carrington, the Grammy Award-winning, and I'm telling you, her website should win an award, too. I love the absolute chutzpah and entrepreneurship of Terry Lynn Carrington. Not only is she an unbelievable drummer, but if you go to Terry Lynn, that's L-Y-N-E, Carrington.com, you will see this amazing website, and a large part of that has to do with her partnership with a digitally based company that likes to expand horizons for other artists. So she expanded her own horizons and created this masterpiece. When you first go to the website, not exactly her website, it's like her living room, and then you go to the website and it's a city. And then you hear on one screen, a la New York City, you see that she explains the Mosaic Project. And you heard Insomniac from that award-winning project. Woo, that was hot. Now, Terry Lynn is also the artistic director of the Berkeley Beantown Jazz Festival. Makes sense. She's a Massachusetts girl. The school is in Massachusetts. And she got her honorary doctorate back in 2003 from Berkeley. So a couple of things you might not have known about Terry Lynn. Cozy Cole, Topsy, Part 1 and Part 2. No longer with us, that superior drummer. Had to go drummer to drummer. Of course, you realize that. From, the 17th of October. He was born the day after me, but in 1909. He passed away in 1981. He worked with Jelly Roll Morton. He worked with Cab and Blanche Calloway, Benny Carter, and was hired by CBS Radio to be in its first mixed-race orchestra. Seems hard to believe to actually use that kind of language now, but that was the case. And worked a lot with Louis Armstrong, too. Love that beat of that song. We heard that back in the 50s. It was actually out in 58. Topsy, Part 1 and Part 2 all together. We are going to hear from one of the new favorite vocalists that you'll have, honestly, when you hear Vic Frierson come up. We're going to hear some tracks from Throwback. Not Throwback, mind you, but Throwback from back in the day. Actually, the album is a couple of years old, and he's going to tell the story of that. Just amazing musicianship. And we'll get to him at the top of the last hour of the show. We're going to play some music for you first. And here's an interesting fellow brought to my attention by my good friend Dave, who likes to bring a lot of people to my attention. This is the New York-based celloist, Eric Friedlander, and Quake on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
You can say you love me.
Micah Chevalier from a couple of years ago from her CD Ruse Fantasy, and a song written by quite a wise fellow, Dr. William Smith, Forgiveness. Between that song and, back and forth on the CD, this will give you a whole lot of energy to face the new month in 2012, because 2012 has had some rough patches. We were all looking forward to this, but you know what? Keep on marching to the promised land. Love that song. Micah Chevalier is going to be, if you are in the region, at K2, which is a cool, very hip place, restaurant and lounge in Woodbridge, Virginia, on Friday with saxophonist Marcus Mitchell. And if you want more information, you can march yourself over to Micah, MYCAH.net, and find out more. We heard from Cindy Bradley, Footprints. Yes, the Wayne Shorter song. How about that? From Cindy's Unscripted CD. Just a lovely excursion into roots that she wants to further explore. She is also one of those gals who doesn't mind the accolades coming from the smooth side of things, but also wants to let people know that there is a lot more to Cindy Bradley, and there indeed is. Trumpet, flugelhorn, and flumpet. Yes, Cindy plays a flumpet, which is a cross between a trumpet and a flugelhorn, and actually, she is involved in something that is so fabulous. She is going to be at the Berks Jazz Festival, and that's going to be, coming up later this month. Oh, I forgot. That's right, later this month. She's part of the Jazz in Pink, what would you call that, organization, if you will, with Gail Johnson, Paula Atherton, Darlene Marino, Althea Renee, and more. If you go to jazzandpink.com, you will find out about what the premise of this entire idea is. Mentorship, making sure that women get support, and making sure that you know that there is a lot of excellence and a lot of different instrumentation from women in jazz. It's just a phenomenal endeavor, and I hope to be there to see all of these gals do their thing, especially Cindy, who I've never met in person, but we've talked to a couple of times via phone, so that'll be very interesting. Berks Jazz, yes. Eric Friedlander, a cellist and composer based in the New York area. We heard Quake, title track from his 2004 CD that he did with Topaz, his jazz fusion group. Eric's dad is Lee Friedlander. Now, I'm not sure whether Lee is still with us or not, because I never want to presume that somebody is, but dad was an Atlantic Records photographer and played a whole lot of music for son Eric, and Eric absorbed it all. That is some choice stuff that he does. He has played for Laurie Anderson, Alanis Morissette, Courtney Love, For the Love of All That's Good and Holy. And this is a very interesting and poignant little story. His wife, who was an acclaimed choreographer, Lynn Mason Shapiro, passed away this past November. And Eric, of course, trying to get himself together the next day, took his bike out and was riding his bike, and he was in an accident, and he hurt his thumb to the point where he's got to nurse it through this early part of 2012 and get better before he's actually out and about and active with his music again. So keep him in your thoughts and prayers, because he had a pretty double dose back there in 2011. Hopefully it's going to be a good year for him. Let's turn our attention, shall we? And hello to Matt and Debbie and Griselda in the chat room today. So glad to see them. Oh, my goodness. Vic Frierson, one of the most amazing vocalists on the planet, I kid you not. It might have something to do with the fact that he's 6'8", so everything is big on him, including that voice. But it takes you to another place, and you'll see at the top of, the 3 o'clock Eastern time hour, okay? He'll be in our last hour, so get looking forward to that. And let's play somebody that I haven't heard from for a while. I reached out to him this morning. He got back to me. All is well with Attila Molnar on keyboard here. Just love this. This is the title track from his Dreams CD on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. You'll love this. Thank you.
That kind of woman isn't the right kind of woman for me. For me. But that kind of woman happens to be all a woman should be. Warm as a fire, soft as the summery rain, and so thrilling to kiss. If my desire drives me a little insane, am I really to blame for this? To that kind of woman, love is a game that a woman must play. Must play. Someday she'll hurt me, someday she'll simply desert me, they say. Maybe I'm foolish, foolish to think I could hold someone born with a need to be free. But that kind of woman happens to be the one woman for me.
That could result in an afternoon delight if you would listen to too much of Joe Williams right about this time. The award-winning Mr. Joe Williams, formerly Joe Go Reed, 1960 for that song, That Kind of Woman. Such an interesting story. Born in Georgia, a young mom fought to make that boy's life good. She was about 18 years old. She had saved up money to move to Chicago, and what she decided to do was go to Chicago alone so that she could work in some wealthier homes, and then she brought Joe and her mom with her, and she made sure that Joe got well-versed on piano, and she made sure that she supported him as much as she possibly could. And it got to the point where he was doing so well because folks were taking notice of this amazing vocalist that when he was 16, he said to his mom, look, I think I can make a living for the family if I drop out of school. And that's what he did at 16. What a career. Born in 1918, passed away in 1999. And Count Basie, among the many people that he worked with, said about him, my number one son. Joe Williams had a lot of love in his corner. I'll never forget when I saw him at Newport Jazz Festival back in the 60s. My goodness, that was a charge. I was a little too young to be all exhilarated, like a womanly kind of exhilaration and appreciation. But there was some things stirring in me. I knew what was happening because he came out into the audience and he sang to some of us. Mercy. Never forget it. If you want to do something worthwhile, this is what Joe Williams left behind besides his musical legacy. He and his wife decided on this before he passed on. He has a Joe Williams Everyday Foundation. If you go to jwedf.org, you will find out what he had envisioned as far as supporting those in jazz who needed some help, and especially youth. Amazing what he left behind. He really felt that folks needed a leg up. I would love to see what he has to say in these times. Man, I miss Joe Williams. Ralph Towner, guitarist on this particular track on Matchbook, but also a multi-instrumentalist. 72 years old today, and I'm telling you, when I was programming this show today, I had no idea. 72 and celebrating in Rome, that's where he lives, along with Gary Burton on the Vibes from 1974's Matchbook. And man, a lot to be said as far as both of these superior talents are concerned, but here's a little thing about Ralph Towner. If you go back to 1972's Weather Report, I Sing the Body Electric, he's on there. And Gary Burton, really interesting. Boy, in several ways, just saw the schedule of Gary touring with Chick Corea on many dates in the next few months. But Boots Randolph, back in the day, early in Gary's career, wanted him to come to Nashville so he could sit in on some sessions. So there he is, back in the 60s with Floyd Kramer and Chet Atkins and more. There's even a Nashville discography if you go to GaryBurton.com. Now, here's the interesting thing about Gary Burton. He was married a couple of times and to one woman for about 10 years. And he came out in 1985 for a man in jazz to come out as a gay man, really brave. And it's just kind of incongruous to talk about that these days. But still, you know, in many circles, that could cause some controversy. But here he is, the breadth of character, the breadth of talent that he has, and a full schedule and a life partner, and it's all working in jazz. And you know what? We just need to get real about all that stuff so we can let the crap go and just make sure that everybody not only gets tolerated but embraced. I mean, all you have to do is look in the headlines about people getting bullied and the results of that. Shouldn't there be some sort of school scenario early on that teaches kids, you know what? It's not a matter of you accepting. It's a matter of you totally embracing folks that are different from what you look like when you look in the mirror. And I'll get off my soapbox now. Attila Molnar. ATT, just like Attila the Hun, he's proud of that, MOLNAR.com. You go there and find out all about this keyboardist, composer, and producing fool who's got his own studio and is one of the sweetest people on the planet. Got this real hot website. And by the way, thank you, Attila, because you still have my quote about you on there. Oh, my goodness. You heard Dreams, title track from his CD a few years ago now, 2009, I believe. He said, as of this morning, that he has a new CD coming out at the end of the year. So we're looking forward to that. As we are, with regard to Wes Montgomery, on the 6th, next Tuesday of March, Echoes of Indiana Avenue comes your way. That will be the late, great Wes Montgomery's birthday, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what all of that means. But first, let's go back to 1965. Bumpin' on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And Vic Frierson comes your way in another hour or so. Thank you. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Waiting for the sound of your voice to call my name.
what, I got to say, I didn't know how good that was going to sound when it actually played out. Oh, my gosh. She really is a treat, isn't she? Her name is Elizabeth Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, because there's a few spellings on that last name. She's from Canada. If you go to her website, you'll find out quite a bit about her. She's a very intriguing gal, raised by ministers in the Salvation Army. So she got to like brass instrumentation, and then she really liked classical and house music. But she has been known in the various and frequent Canadian venues where she plays as the quintessential soul jazz performer. Yeah. From her CD, Parkdale, her second CD from 2008, that's Next Time Around. She actually has a jazz piano degree from McGill University in Montreal. Really an exceptional singer. She creates a mood, doesn't she? And she's got varying dates in Canada on her website, and she promises that there will be international tours later on in the year, so we'll see. We had a request to play the song again from the brand new Abstract Truth CD. The CD is called I'll Bring You Flowers Every Day, Abstract Truth with G. Lawrence Francis on bass, and friends, you heard a track, and G and I agree that it's one of our favorites, Five on the Backhand Side, some exceptional Philly talent on this CD, and actually, if you go to abstracttruthmusic.com, abstracttruth, I love that, music.com, you'll find out where they're playing, and they're actually doing a date with the Intruders, those same Intruders from back in the day. Yeah, my buddies. Hopefully we'll have G on with us, and he'll talk about what's happening with Abstract Truth and the Philly jazz scene. That will be wonderful. Wes Montgomery, woohoo, bumping from 1965. Man, I love it that even when somebody is no longer with us on earth, somebody loving keeps up their website, and that's the truth with WesMontgomery.com. You'll find out about Echoes of Indiana Avenue. And I'm really excited about this because not only is it going to be re-released next Tuesday on Wes's birthday. He was born March the 6th, 1923, and passed away suddenly in June of 1968. This is going to be previously unreleased material. We have not had any of this in over 25 years. And it's going to be not only the material, but photographs from his family and some live dates there back in Indianapolis where he just loved the jazz scene. And that's all out next Tuesday. Can't wait to get my mitts on that. Yee-hoo! Wes Montgomery and Bumpin'. Let's see. Ooh, we're getting to that time. Top of next hour, it's going to be Vic Frierson, and I'm a little happy about that. All right, I'm a lot happy about that. One of those people that you never forget when you meet him. And I don't know what kind of stuff he's going to be telling us, but I'm anxious. My ears are burning to know what kind of truth, because it's always the truth coming out of Vic. So we'll let you know about that, and then we'll turn our attention right now to another guitarist, another one we don't have with us anymore walking, but his spirit certainly remains. One of those people in Brazil that's absolutely revered, Baden Powell, and a classic called Linda Flor on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
very thought of you makes my heart sing like an April breeze on the wings of spring. And you appear in all your splendor, my one and only love. The shadows fall and spread their mystic charm in the hush of night while you're in my arms. I feel your lips so warm and tender, my one and only love. The touch of your hand is like heaven, a heaven that I've never known. The blood whenever I speak tells me that you are my own. You fill my eager heart with such desire. Every kiss you give sets my soul on fire. I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only love. I give myself in sweet surrender, my one and only.
Hung that note a few more minutes too, I'll bet you. Kirk Whalum, along with brother Kevin Whalum, from the brand new Romance Language CD. That's one of the tracks I alluded to earlier when I said I hadn't heard it all the way through. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. My one and only love. You know how much I love that song. Hadn't heard Kevin croon that thing. Wow, very nice. Kirk and Kevin Whalum. Let me tell you something. I don't know exactly what they have in mind with their schedule this year, but I do know that Kirk and Kevin both, because, you know, Kirk is based in Memphis and Kevin is in Nashville, and I know that Kevin is real, real active with his family. He's got a beautiful family, and Kirk has Ruby at home, but pretty much everybody is out, so Kirk gets to do his own thing, and he's working with Stax Academy. But he's also going to be touring with his brother, and one of the places they will be is at the Preserve Jazz Festival coming up in the next few months in June, along with our good friend. So that's going to be absolutely wonderful. And we should tell you, and you're going to hear a little beep. Let's see if it is. We should tell you that you heard Candy Dofer also on sax right before Kirk, and I hadn't heard that particular track from Candy, brand new from Crazy, just came out on January 31st. That was called Too Close. Mmm, that was tasty. Very nice beat. Now, I will say this about the CD. It's got some reggae and some funk and some dance. It's a pretty tasty follow-up to Funked Up. If you are looking for just purely contemporary jazz, you might be a little disappointed because people want to put Candy in a box too, and she won't have any of that. It's a Dutch thing. If you go to www.candydolfer.nl, you will see her schedule. She's spending a lot of time in the Netherlands. And you should know that, Crazy, the CD, was in large part due to the inspiration of who Candy hired for the project, Black Eyed Peas MD, Prince Board, just so you know, so you'll know the flavor of it. There's a couple of jazz tracks on there, and that's one, Too Close. Just the title is enough to make you want to squeeze a little harder in somebody's arms, I know. And then if Baden-Powell didn't do it for you, I don't know what will. Beautiful. Actually, it's a Baden-Powell de Aquino, who was one of those greats in Brazil, no longer with us, but one of those Brazilian angels that we have. If you go to brazil-on-guitar.de, you'll find out more. Intriguing, though, named after Robert Baden-Powell, who was the founder of the Scouts. And Dad was real, real into learning as much as he could about the Scouts. And just full of music, full of music. And they moved to Rio de Janeiro when Baden was a little guy, and just considered one of the finest acoustic guitarists in the Americas, all of the Americas. Linda Flor is from Lembrancas, which was the last album before Baden's death in 2000, featuring Teco Cardoso on flute and Freddie Prince. Not that Freddie Prince. This is Freddie Prince in Brazil on percussion. Beautiful stuff. Let's get to a track or so before Vic Fireson comes our way at the top of next hour. My goodness. Just looking forward to that so much. This is one of those lengthier tracks from an artist that's based in the D.C. area, very, very respected. The Michael Thomas Quintet. Love these classic songs that are done reverently. Absolute love in this. That's all on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. The night is young and full of possibilities. The breeze is hot, the look of love is in your eyes. The moon is high, the music takes my breath away. You're in my arms, romance is on the rise. But for some crazy reason, my mind's a million miles away. I'm thinking about somebody who loved me long ago. Though it's wrong, I know, to do you this way. We're made for one another, extraordinary lovers, the kind of lovers others wish they could be. Happy and it shows. So why do you suppose that everybody knows it but me? Sometimes I can't remember where you stop and I begin. I can't recall a moment you were not around. And every time I'm going through some silly change, you're there for me, you never let me down. But for some crazy reason, I'm clinging to another space and time. I'm thinking about somebody who stole my heart from me, and how I wish that she were still mine. Y'all sing.
A storybook affair,
yeah.
Love beyond compare.
All our family and friends do agree, but that's the way love goes. Perfect love. And everybody knows it but me. Ooh. We got the kind of good thing going, that Romeo and Juliet were looking for. Memories just won't let me go.
Ooh. We're
made for one another, baby. The kind of love the others wish they could be.
Me a deep sigh, please. I want to pack this hour with this man. Let me put a bookmark in that thought. I do need you to know that we played Michael Thomas, the Michael Thomas Quintet. If you're on Facebook, Michael A. Thomas, his version of the standard That's All from Live at Twins Jazz, Volume 2, with Zach Grady, Darius Scott, Kent Miller, and Frank Williams the fourth, and Michael doing his thing on trumpet. So lovely. The voice you just heard, the voice you just heard is Vic, as in Vic Frierson, as in the CD Throwback. It ain't throwback, it's throwback. And let me tell you something, I have said this before, I could say a whole lot about Vic because he and I have known each other for a few years now. This is not our first go-round in an interview scenario. Let me say this. This man has more stories in him than mostly any person I have ever known. And all 6'8" of him has lived to tell the tale with each scenario he's encountered. I am so proud to give you one of the coolest people on the planet, a superior talent, and he's going to fill us in, Vic Frierson.
Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm much better than I hear you now.
Well, I don't know how I live up to all that build-up, but we'll give it a shot.
Hey, let me tell you something. Vic, you know, I'll tell people who are listening right now and people who will listen to this in the archive, you can forget it. Anytime that Vic has come to any place to sing, nobody remembers who was on before him. That is the truth. That is the truth. And now you are back at the place at 315 West Franklin, everybody, on Thursday night.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And thank you for the plug. It is, by the way, an open mic to anyone who would care to come and sing before me.
That is awesome. I have to say this before we go any further, that Debbie Poole, who is in our chat room, says hello.
Hey, Debbie Poole. What's going on?
Vic.
Hope to see you tonight, among others.
I know. Well, listen, I'm making it a point because my friend Ron Abrams, who's got a new CD coming out, playing guitar, he's coming through tonight, and I will be there too.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. That's the guitarist you told me about some time ago who has a similar promotional tack as I was intending to do where he goes to people's homes and they review
his
different
CD. Ken Navarro, I'm glad you mentioned that because he's coming up on the show on March 20th, but that's what Ken does, yes. And I know that you are getting involved in that too. And honestly, I do not even know where to start for our hour here. All I can tell people is, because my friend in Texas is listening, Griselda, and she said, "Ooh, I am loving this song." And I said, "Honey, just wait. Hang on to your hat."
Thanks, Griselda.
Griselda, yes, from Texas, and she is loving your voice.
Well, thank you very much, Griselda. Well, hopefully you'll find more to like on the CD. I know that Trish will play more of it as we move along in the hour.
Yes.
And I'll certainly give plenty of information about how you can access it otherwise.
And I, you know what, this hour is going to fly by, so you know, I'm just leaving this open. You tell me what you want to tell me, because I'm not even going to ask any questions. I'm just going to let you fly. Tell us the story of your life.
Yeah, okay. Well, starting at the present and moving backwards, obviously, and I don't say this as a badge of honor, but it is a fact of the circumstances of my life. As you well know, I just finished serving some time in a federal institution for a misdeed that I did and that I am proud to say that I took full responsibility for from day one of its onset, never tried to hide from it. But and in fact, feel like it's an episode that I grew quite a lot from, both as a man and artistically as well. But, you know, I've done all that, and the irony of it is that right before I went in, which was in January of 2011, as you know, I just completed the CD project.
Yep.
And it had been very well reviewed, both in the States and abroad, specifically in Germany and in Japan.
Wow.
So that, you know, no real promotion efforts were able to get off the ground because of my need to go and pay my debt to society. However, now that I'm back, I am full of the motivation to not only pick up matters related to the promotion of that album, but I'll tell you what, I wrote some songs while I was in that, I mean, I don't know what your perspective is on the depth of the lyrics on the Throwback album or anything you've written prior to now.
Phenomenal. But. Thick. Are you kidding? No. I mean, every kind of emotion explored there, I loved it, and people are going to love it too if they're just re-familiarizing themselves with it. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for that. But I tell you, if you like the depth, the essence of the songs that I wrote for the Throwback Collection and anything that I've done prior to that, by the way, you're going to love these, at least from my perspective. I mean, I can say that I've never delved as deeply into myself as I did for the 25 or 30 songs or so that I wrote while I was in. They progressively got a little bit better. And ironically enough, I thought that I would, because I went in with a little bit of anger about how the whole episode evolved. But setting that aside, I thought then that the songs would be angry, that the songs would reflect that disposition. They did not, except for one. Now, I must tell you, I have one that's unequivocally angry statement. But everything else, whatever it's talking about, whether it's and there are some topics that I've never delved into before. Like there's one song that deals with, a menage a trois, or there's another that deals with, with homosexuality as its principal theme. And of course, the way I tell, the way I write songs, I tell stories. I don't just pick a topic and just hammer the same hook over and over and over again, and not disparaging anybody who does that. It just happens to me. Songs occur to me as stories, and I happen to be, I think, fairly adept at being able to tell those stories in a way that's either poetic or rhythmic. And so I'm just touched upon some topics that I've never touched before, and of course on the relationship stuff, and just delved in more deeply than I have ever done in the past. And so, obviously, having said all that, I'm eager to get into the studio and to get these this next round of songs produced. Hopefully, I can engage, my friend and yours, Daoud, toward that end. But yeah, I'm very, very eager to do that among many, 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 many other things. But now, let me roll back to the. To the episode, the 13 months that I just wrapped up. It has also been beneficial to me in a lot of other ways, in that, very few people, I really think, get to be put into a space where they can be introspective and really genuinely take the time to assess, where their lives are and as such, where they want to go with their lives. For example, I've been in Baltimore since 1992.
Yeah.
And between 1992 and 2006, I'd venture to say that of all the people that I knew, and I knew a ton of people by that time by virtue of my other life's pursuits, none of them, I would say maybe 5 to 10% of them knew that I could sing, and none of them knew that I had aspirations to do music as a lifetime goal. And to me, in retrospect, I can say that's just a shame. I mean, that I can go back and make up for it. I can't get those 20 years back, but I can make sure, by virtue of the introspection that I've just been afforded the opportunity to undergo, that I don't waste another day of my life in pursuit of things that are, uninteresting to me. And I mean, you only get one shot at this. You only get one shot at developing your passion. And not that it took all of this for me to realize it, but it took something. And this certainly did work. It did afford me that opportunity in the musical realm and a couple of other arenas that I feel like I have a bit of a gift in as well. So, anyway, I know I'm kind of diatribing here. I'm orating more than being interviewed. But.
No, I fully expected this because I wanted to go wherever you wanted to go. And I'm going to say something about your writing. More than mostly anybody, if you knew Vic the way I have come to know him, when he writes, there is not an ounce of bullshiggity in what he writes. He is always about the truth. There is never a false hope, a false dream, a false thought, nothing in any of that. So any of these songs on Throwback are shining little jewels. They're from like one kind of situation to another, but each of them are the truth. So when you have had the opportunity now to be in a scenario where you are forced to do something that you wanted to do anyway without any distractions, I am really shaken in my shoes because this is going to be the truth plus.
I think that's right, or at least it will be for me. Now, let me just qualify by saying that. I mean, I may do these next couple CDs and folks say, nah, I'm not feeling that. But I tell you what, I will. And that certainly does matter, and that's kind of my point. You know, I was very happy with the CD, with the Throwback project, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And taking nothing at all away from it or any of its contents. But this stuff is more to the core, more to the heart of what I want to say and how I want to say it. So, anyway, I hope that, and, you know, I know it's not commercial material, that's for sure, but I hope that at some point in this or perhaps a subsequent interview, you'll play for me Sister Song. You know, you played it, I think, one time before. But, I mean, that song to me is – frankly, when we finished it, when Dawood and I finished it in the studio, I swear to you, and laugh at me all you like, but I said that song has got Song of the Year potential because it was so well produced and it was – first of all, it was all me. You know, I mean, I did all the sounds on it except for the percussion tracks that Dawood put on it. But I've never been homeless, but it speaks to that scenario in such a way that I think is, if it doesn't sound too immodest for me to say, it is poignant. And yeah. And like I say, it has some tricks up its sleeve that you know, I think make it a true work of art. But anyway.
Well, look, I mean, I have it here to play. It is one of the most unique songs ever. It's powerful. And folks need to adjust their minds accordingly to the content of this song. There's a lot going on. And I'm glad you mentioned it because it was a priority to play it for this hour. So there you go.
All right.
Vic Frierson, or Vic, as the CD says, and Throwback. This is Sister Song on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check it out.
Sister. See how hard we fight for you, sleeping in a cardboard house, even wondering what we were. She said to me, she said, ain't no time, the sun don't shine, just clouds get in the way. Goodness knows when the cold wind blows, somebody's gonna pay. If I gotta go, the best I can hope is to die in my sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Come on, Father, sing. With us, my God, the chat room, Vic, has a collective chill. I'm not kidding you. Man, and that's all you doing the harmonies, correct?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's no other sound other than my voice, other than Daoud's percussion tracks. Yeah, yeah. I had a big kick out of doing that tune, but yes, it's all me.
Wow. Just amazing. And I was telling Griselda before, when we heard the first song, which is Everybody Knows But Me, that I played, she said, wow. And I said, yeah, just wait, just the tip of the iceberg here. Oh my gosh. Did you find yourself, when you were in, did you find yourself on fire to write? Did you have to push, or was it just pouring out of you, Vic?
Both. When I first got there, I mean, it was just nothing. Period. And that's it. That's all. But what happened? Well, the first thing that happened was, I guess I'd been there maybe 45 days or so, and then it, like a gospel song kind of. I've never written a gospel song or a song with a what could even remotely be construed as a gospel context or connotation. But I did. I wrote a song called Dear Lord. And then I said, you know what, I'm all right with this, with not just this tune, but with this songwriting thing. And they have it at the institution or throughout the system what are called the adult continuing education classes. And so I offered to the education director to teach songwriting because I know something else. I mean, I know it's art, but there is science to it. And,
yeah.
And so I thought I could make a plausible case for them letting me do it. And they did. Now, there's a horror story attached to how it all came to pass, but it came to pass. That's the important part. But it was actually in that arena in teaching the technique of songwriting and then, of course, demonstrating it. By the way, they let me send in that CD, the throwback CD, to use as a teaching tool so that when I'm talking about verses or choruses or pre-choruses or harmonies or whatever, I could have something to point to as a, because there are no other electronic types of correspondent or transportation, vehicles readily available on the site. So, but to his credit, the education director let me actually send it in to him, and it's still there, by the way, so that I could then check it out from class to class. So anyway, it was in the process of teaching the songwriting that I started writing songs again because I didn't want a week to go by where I hadn't at least done something toward creating a song that I could then share with the class, and the class stayed packed. It was fun, and so then it kind of became more fun for me, and that's how I caught fire. Then...
Wow.
Now, I because of another project that I'm undertaking, which is a book project, and because of the contents of that book, the book, just so you know, there's nothing really surreptitious about it. It's about my experiences and about my perceptions of, now I'll just call it the missed opportunities of the prison system. But anyway, the way I'm conveying that story or those missed opportunities is through not only my voice, but those of some of my fellow inmates. And so I gathered some interviews of, as difficult as that is to do, not being able to record, I got some interviews from some of my fellow inmates while I was in. And so my book is a compilation of those interviews is kind of ensconced within the parameters of my story. So anyway, when they, the administration, found out that I was doing this, they put me in special housing, a.k.a. the hole. They did. And, they ostensibly for the purpose of my being under investigation, just to determine that I wasn't saying anything that was compromising the security of the institution. But it was crap. They were trying to scare me into stopping. And so anyway, they... while I was in the hole, they don't know, they cannot know the favor they did me, because when I went in the hole, the faucet turned on. And I'm telling you, it's not off yet. I mean, but for that 30 days, or exactly 28 days that I was in the hole, I'm telling you, I wrote some really, really, and by the way, that's when I wrote the angry one. But
I'm sure. Whoa.
Yeah, but so to your question of, you know, did being in sequestered like that lend itself to my being a more prolific writer? I'd say yes, and at first it didn't, but eventually it did, and it was just boom, 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 back to back. Then, and let me say this parenthetically about the songwriting class. I now know how teachers feel, how parents feel who, you know, try to impart certain messages or lessons to their kids or to their students, as the case is with teachers. I never felt more gratified in my whole life. And I'm telling you, this was a labor of love, because they don't pay you to teach these classes in addition to not giving you any resources to help facilitate it. But I never felt more gratified than when there's a little band room on the facility, and every night, and I mean every single night that the Lord brought from the time that I started teaching class to the time that I left that place on February 3rd, there were students of mine in that band room working on original compositions. Actually, one of the guys and me, we co-wrote a couple of songs. I just heard he's a guitar player, and believe it or not, he's just learning the guitar, but he comes up with these dynamite riffs, and I'm like, where in the world did you get that progression of chords from? And I asked his permission, can I put some lyrics to that? Do you mind? And he, of course, said no. I mean, he doesn't mind. And so he and I did a couple of tunes. This young white kid from Wake Forest, North Carolina.
So
we're sharing the copyright of it and all that. Yeah, it's. But my real point from alluding to that is that I've never felt more gratified than to see my students, black, white, you know, red, brown, my students every single night in the band room, fighting for a time in the band room to work out the changes on nothing but their original material. And I really felt, and they weren't doing that before. They, like I said, they caught fire in the songwriting class, and I'm not taking undue credit. This is the absolute truth, and so they kind of lit a fire under me as well. So that's how that played out.
Gosh, Vic, you know, honestly, from hearing your voice talk about this, I don't know how else to say it. This almost seems like a blessing that this happened.
Well, it really was. It really was for those two reasons, that, you know, the music reason and the book reason. But, you know, more importantly, it helped me to clear out my mind and my space, by the way. I found out through this who's real among those who were in my circle and purported to be friends. And you know what I mean? I found out who's real. And a lot of people don't get that opportunity, Trish. And I got it, like I say, albeit the hard way. I got it. I got a chance to really see who's who. And that thing matters so much. But as importantly, I've never felt as focused, as determined to make something happen with this music. Now, I must say that one of the realizations that came to me was that while I do have a very, very deep passion for singing, per se, I really only want to write. I mean, you could argue that the stuff I write, nobody's going to want to do but me. But to the extent that I might stumble across something that's a little bit more generic in tone, I really want to pursue getting published and getting my songs placed with other artists. And as far as my own desire to sing is concerned, you know, I'd be fulfilled if I could have a gig in Baltimore one weekend, and a gig in D.C. the next weekend, a gig in Philly the next, you know, work the East Coast with this album and with my own, the other songs. That would fulfill me immensely. Just work clubs, I mean, really small, intimate venues, because I'm most comfortable in that arena. And, you know, but that's not really, I'm not trying to get large or trying to blow up, so to speak, other than as a songwriter. I do believe that the unfortunate passing of guys like, you know, Luther and Gerald Levert and, you know, Barry White has left a void in the industry that the industry has done very little to fill. And I do think that my skill set fits right in there. I'll admit that. But having said that, you know, if something like that happens, cool. It is not my frontline priority as much as is publishing. And then finally, before I give you back the mic, your microphone. the other benefit from having been incarcerated is that I have a cause. I have a purpose. And, you know, I've always been a bit of a rebel, but now I got a cause, you know what I mean? And and that is that of prison reform. I'm not going to stop until some stuff that is amiss about the system is either changed or I die. It's just that simple. one or the other, because it's just wrong the way that taxpayer dollars are misused, and I'm not speaking so much about myself, but I'm speaking about the 20, 25, 30 year old guys who are in there for tons of time and who are not being prepared to fit back into society, and it's just a travesty. And they're being told, they being the people like me before I went in, you know, the general public, are being misled to believe that all these opportunities for rehabilitation exist, and they simply do not. So that's my cause, that's my passion, right alongside the music thing. That's my cause. So I'm going to not let it go. I'm going to grab it by the throat, and I'm going to choke it until it either gets right or one of us dies.
Oh, my. That's really intense, Vic. My God, it's as if it's not even important to talk about what led you to this space, only that you went through this space and it changed everything, you know?
Everything. Changed everything.
Man, that's crazy. And I have to tell you this because actually this news is new as of the past 24 hours. I heard this in regard to Whitney Houston. When she passed from this earth, you would have thought that there was going to be something left, especially to go to Bobby Christina. But the fact of the matter is that because Whitney did not write, there was not as much money as one would think to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
So you are right to focus on the craft, the gift that you have to write, because that is going to not only pave the way for you, but what you leave behind. That's the test right there. The songs that you have written that will be in other people's throats for years to come.
Yeah. And parenthetically to that statement about Whitney Houston, I mean, and taking nothing away from her and her or her legacy, but yeah, it's kind of a shame that you know as well as I do that when she passed away that her record sales went through the roof the next day.
Yes.
And probably not a dime of it. I don't know that she wrote anything. Probably not a dime of it. I mean, all that happened, all that activity happened to the benefit of other people.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yep. And I am chomping at the bit because, look, I actually put 5 songs in the system. Not that we're going to get to 5, but I just couldn't make up my mind. And you focused on a particular phrase that you said. You're not sure that your songs would maybe fit another person. But let me tell you something about that little sentence that you said. And then you were talking about anger. And actually, one of the songs that's on Throwback is You Told Me That, and that's pretty angry. and I love it because guys really would relate to this song in ways that even might surprise them. So let's play that, shall we?
Why not?
If you don't want me to, I won't, but this
no,
starts...
No, go ahead. I said, why not? Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Have at it.
This starts off the CD, and it's just another side of Vic, what he is capable of writing, and then to project the feeling of the words. Here he is, Vic Fireson from Throwback. You told me that on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
You told me that.
Gonna stay, never gonna go away, cause I'm the love of your life.
You told me that
you would stay around, never gonna put me down, maybe someday be my wife.
You told me that
you would never leave, turn your back on me, never ever for a minute.
You told me that
you would break free, come see about me, lose your life if I wasn't in it. You told me that we would never part, that was yesterday. You told me you'd never break my heart, then you just walked away.
You told me that
you would rather die than to ever say goodbye. Cause your love goes on and on.
You told me that.
You could guarantee that you'd never hurt me. Maybe one day make a home.
You told me that.
I can take your words, just forget the things I heard. And you sealed it with a kiss.
You told me that.
It was just a third, all the things I overheard. And honey, Verity, you told me that you would love me forever and one more day. You told me that you would never leave. Then you just walked away. You just walked away.
I was right in the middle of love,
yeah.
Flying high on the wings of a dove.
Oh, babe.
Forever I'm thinking of.
See, I was fine until you told me
right
that.
Question. Here's a bit of confession. I have not gone through every scenario. I've not lived through every scenario that I write about. I just am able to, as I said before, I'm not homosexual, but I wrote what I think is a pretty good song about that deals with the topic of homosexuality. Anyway,
right.
I'm able to cast myself in that role for as long as it takes to create that thing. So I really never went through what was expressed in You Told Me That, but I still feel like I know it because I was so steeped in the part, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there are certainly there are songs on the CD that I did you know, live the experiences for, through of, but that's not, that's really not, not one of them.
Well, you're an actor, and you put yourself in these roles. You do.
Yeah, I think that, I think that's true. And what happened was that we had done every other song. Dawood and I had done every other song for the collection, and then I just said, you know what, I need a dance song, because I, what I was going to rely on in or rely on in that regard is Love Always Breaks Your Heart, because it's just upbeat a little bit, but it's not really a dance song. So I said, you know what, I need a dance song. I swear to you, it's just as calculated as that. I said, I need a dance tune. And so I wrote the lyrics and you know, had the tempo in mind and the pace. But what really set it off was I was in Philly one night, and I was listening to Busta Rhymes. I was at a club just dancing, Joyce and I were. And Busta Rhymes, he in his song "Put Your Hands Where Your Eyes Where My Eyes Can See," he used that beat, that kind of doo-doom, doom, doom, that kind of doom. But that, it's, you know, everybody has used it. I mean, several artists have used it. I would argue on back to Herb Alpert with his tune.
Rise.
Yeah. But anyway. So I said, that's it, that's the beats. I came back and I told Dawood, that's kind of the feel for, you told me that. And then he, in a couple of days or so, emailed me, said, I got something I think you're going to like, man. And so there it is.
Well, you know what? It goes so well with the flavor of what you wrote in the way of the tune, because it's like, man, oh, my God, I can't believe you put me through this. You put me through this. It was like, Oh, it was just so perfect working together. And that's the way the album starts out. I just love it. Oh, my God. God, you are just full of energy, and you just can't wait. I mean, what are you doing on a day-to-day now? Because I know that you're building in this excitement.
Yeah, well, to move back now to my more pragmatic self, I mean, I my life has been disassembled by this whole episode too, so I don't want to give you the,
sure,
paint too big a smiley face on it. So, which is to say that my priority one is to generate some kind of an income. So toward that end, I am definitely in full-fledged job search mode. But I mean, you know, I'm certainly not trying to recreate the dynamic that had me so far afield before. I just want something mindless. I mean, I don't mean to decry restaurant work, but you know, anything that I'm physically capable of doing, I want to do, and I want to be able to leave it there at 4:30 and come home and get into this other stuff. Nothing is ever going to divert me from this other stuff. So,
I understand.
Job search mode.
And actually, you know what? It might be a scenario not only for you but for other folks as well. But I'm about to dive into a business because I have to stay here. I have to be here for my son. So, you know, we're talking about thinking out of the box these days as far as everybody and what they need to do in order to make money and sustain themselves, whatever. But I'm about to go into a health and wellness business. So I'll keep you apprised of that because you might be able to express your interest down the line.
All right. I certainly do appreciate that. I'll hold you to that.
Oh, no. I know. I can't cut corners with you, Vic. I can't tell you something, and then you say to me, I wouldn't be able to face you if I was even saying something that was half a truth. That's for real. As soon as I get my arson gear to get it off the ground, I'm going to make sure that everybody that I really love gets to see what's going on. And the more that you are able to do the creative stuff that you need to do, and now one of your life's missions about prison reform, the better it's going to be for all of us.
Well, good. Thank you for seeing that, and thank you for saying that. In a perfect world, by the way, though, I'd be able to do music as an income generator, but Baltimore is not necessarily the place for that. I do want to at some point, and in the short term rather than the long, get somebody. As you know, I was even approaching you toward this end, but you said it's not your bailiwick. But get somebody who was an advocate, not necessarily a manager, but, you know, for lack of a better term, I'll say a manager, somebody who can represent my interests in the realm of the arts better than I can, because I'm way too passionate about it. But somebody who can just get me gigs and you know, because I got guys calling me every day who want to, and that's the truth, who want to put together a nice little group or something. But, yeah, I just don't have that luxury to put something together toward, you know, just for the love of it. You know, I've got to put something together and really have it to be an income earner for me, you know.
Gotcha. Well, you know that I would always help you, but I'll never take any money from you. I mean, it's going to be all free when I say, you know, call up somebody and say, you want a singer? It's Vic Frierson. So I'll put you in touch. And actually, this is what I see for you. This is the ideal set of circumstances. If you could have your own club and that brings money into you, I'm just envisioning this, you with your own club, so that you could come and go as you pleased, perform when you want to, have the creativity and the room to do songs and to do what you need to do to make people aware of what prisons need to have done. That's what I see, because you are such a leader. Nobody can lead like you as far as assembling people and telling people what to do. This is a gift that you have. So if you were to run a scenario like that, gravy. Crazy.
Let me say this: you read my mind, because in Louisville, which, as you know, is my hometown, Louisville,
yes.
Kentucky, there's a club there. This guy and I grew up together. We played. There used to be, when we were kids, a talent show circuit that all the high schools had, and he and I were in that circuit, and we did all the. We took advantage of every opportunity that a teenager could in Louisville to expose his talent. His name is Jerry Green. He's a guitar player, and taking nothing away from his talent. I mean, he's a good enough guitar player and singer, but how he wangled it, I'll never know. But he managed to get a club called Jerry Green's in Louisville, and it's so well placed because it's in a hotel. And stays packed, and he's never been under the illusion that he was going to put anything together that just targeted a certain demographic. So as a consequence, he has something for everybody, so to speak. And I've said to my family for years, since the first time I went into Jerry's place, that I would love to do something like that, either in Louisville or, because I'm a legend in Louisville, not to, you know, overly aggrandize my reputation there, but it's just the truth. but also in Baltimore, because, and you know, I don't have to be the owner of it per se, but it does need to be named Vic's.
Right. It has to be. And look, I thought about you because a friend of mine who is a singer, Gianna Welling, was in town last week. We went to a place in the BWI airport called Michener's, and I thought, this has Vic Frierson written all over it.
Yeah, see, I think something like that would really work well.
Oh, my God. You kidding me? And then, you know, you take over and everybody who hears you sing go, oh, my God. But then you foster other talent that comes through and you know how to conduct the band.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep. I think the smart entrepreneur would really make a killing. And, you know, like I say, all I want from it is just the steady exposure and the potential tentacles that could grow off of that kind of opportunity.
Right. You need to be in a scenario, and this is not for everybody. Everybody can't do it, but you have all the tools necessary whereby you put your name to a project and the strength of your talent lets money roll in without you having to work a whole lot.
Yeah, I tell you, Jerry does a set or two at night, and I mean, I tell you, somebody makes a killing out there. I'm not convinced that that it's him, and there is, of course, some speculation as to who's behind him, but I don't know, and I don't care, and I don't disparage him. I wish him nothing but the best. I just want to have that same opportunity or a similar opportunity either in Louisville or in Baltimore, because it would kill. It would absolutely kill in Louisville. But I think in Baltimore as well, because I've gotten a pretty good name for myself despite my misstep.
You know what? Honestly, Vic, I would encourage you also to go the route of AFTRA and SAG to get a union card down the road so that you could do some commercial work, use your voice, and also
mm-hmm.
your acting skills, because I think there's a potential to be an incredible actor with you.
Okay, all right. I'll certainly take that under advisement.
Yes. We might as well milk everything that's there, and there's a lot there.
Well, no question. I would love to do commercials, I mean radio jingles and stuff. I would love to do that. I'd love to even write them, but certainly at a minimum, love to sing them.
Well, cool.
I've ran across a couple people over the last few years who said they were going to put me in the stream here, but you know, people are really, they say one thing, but they're really at the core reticent to turn you on to too many opportunities that they think you might bump them out on, you know.
You think?
Yeah. People are pretty they're pretty covetous in those ways, but you know, what are you gonna do? My day will come, and I'm certain of it.
Exactly. Like Tyler Perry said in a video that's floating around, you know, God wants you hidden until it's time for you to be unhidden.
You know what? His eyes on the sparrow. There you go. You just set it up perfectly.
There you go. And I'm going to do it right. This is the jewel crown of Throwback. This is Vic Frierson, and his eye is on the sparrow. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose all doubts and fears. I draw thee closer to me, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, for his eye is on the sparrow.
Well,
and I know
draw this to a close,
he watches
90 seconds or less. Vic, I love you, and I'm so glad
I sing
time.
Because I'm happy.
I
sing because I'm free.
And I didn't want to trail it out like that because I wanted to have a chance to say goodbye to you. Oh, my God. So now people will have to get Throwback to hear the end of that.
Yeah, that's right. Go to the website and find out how to get it. www.bigvix.com. That's BIGVIX.com. BigVix.com.
Okay. That's awesome. I know. And I'll see you tonight at the place, 315 West Franklin.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, and we'll have you on again extremely soon.
Okay, and listen, remind me tonight to tell you of another good friend of mine, guitar player extraordinaire, that I think you would do well to have him on your show as well.
Excellent. We'll talk about it.
All righty.
All right, Vic. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later, my dear. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessey. We've got a couple of seconds to go, and thank you again. We'll see you Tuesday with Gianna Welling.